Hello, everybody. You are listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I am with the lovely Carrie Callahan.
Hi.
And I just realized maybe lovely wasn't the right word because that sounds kind of sexist, so I apologize. But if it makes you feel any better, I've called men lovely on this show before.
Cool. Good. Okay, good.
Carrie is the first guest that's been on the show. Carrie or Miss Callahan, which would you prefer?
Carrie, because Miss Callahan is ridiculous.
It's quite ridiculous, but it's up to you. I'm not going to judge. So Carrie is the first guest that has been on the show that I have not known before she came on the show. And Carrie's on the show because she is a wonderful stand-up comedian.
Aww.
And she will be performing as part of the You, Me, Them, Everybody series a week from when we record this on Monday night. So, Carrie, as a stand-up, why are you a stand-up? What made you initially want to do stand-up comedy?
Let's see. Well, I did improv in college, and then I took a break from comedy altogether, and I saw a stand-up show in Cleveland, and I thought I could do better than this. Well, so, not all of them.
I'm not. Of course not. Why did you initially do the sketch stuff, or the improv stuff?
I really like lots of people looking at me.
Okay.
I really like.
When you were a small child, were you in all the school plays and stuff like that?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Were you ever the lead?
Let's see. The closest I came to the lead. I was the baker's wife in Into the Woods.
Okay. Do you remember anything about being the baker's wife from Into the Woods?
I had to kiss the guy who was playing Prince Charming, and he was someone who I had a big crush on, and it was intensely stressful. And
how old were you? Or what, high school, grade school?
It was right after eighth grade.
Ooh, wow. So this is like fireworks everywhere, and you're making out with dude.
Mm-hmm.
Literally Prince Charming.
Yeah.
Did you make out with him in rehearsal?
Yeah, we fake made out.
When it came to showtime, did you make out?
No, we still fake made
you
out.
You fake made? How do you fake make out for this such an important role?
Yeah, well, you know, he knew I had a big crush on him, and so I was just...
This is scandalous.
I felt like he was being pressured to make out with me because he was in the role, you know, and so both of us were very respectful of each other's boundaries.
Wow.
I guess, yeah.
If you can go back, would you still fake make out or would you just go for it?
I think I made... Geez, that's hard to say. Almost any other circumstance, I would be like, I should have gone for it, but...
You're trying to stay classy with your memories.
Right, right.
But getting back on track, you saw some stand-ups in Cleveland. You said, I can do better.
Mm-hmm.
When was this? How many years ago?
It was 3 years ago.
Three years ago. And since then, do you think you're currently better than those stand-ups you saw? We're not naming names here, so no one's feelings are going to get hurt.
Yeah, well, yes. I like my stuff better than...
Do you remember what kind of stuff it was?
You know, it's just, like, really shocking and really, like, right, like, real gross-out shock stuff.
Okay, so it wasn't, like, political commentary. It wasn't subtle.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you started doing stand-up, you were currently living in Cleveland, and mm-hmm. that's where you're from, I'm assuming?
Yes.
From Cleveland or from the burbs, or how does Cleveland work?
I'm from the city of Cleveland.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
In the city, on the west side. It was important to my parents that we live in the city, so that's why.
Why is that?
Well, my dad was is a community organizer in Cleveland, so I think it was partly like, so, you know, like,
yeah.
First of all, like Cleveland needs all the income tax it can get,
yeah.
The property tax, I mean, and just like not. I don't know, like living in solidarity with people. That
no,
is
no,
so...
it makes complete sense. I mean, you can tell as someone who's from Cleveland. Cleveland has not been getting the best reputation as of recent,
mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are saying like it's headed the way of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
No.
Okay. How is it different?
Well, let's
see.
Oh, jeez. This is a lot of pressure. I feel like I really have to put on a really good face.
Okay, well, here, let me talk about Cleveland. I've been to Cleveland once, and it was early in January, and it wasn't a bad city, I'd like to say, hands down. The one complaint I had with Cleveland, and I am still very upset with it, is there's no goddamn department store in all of Cleveland, and that Drew Carey show lied to me.
That is true. Yes.
What the fuck?
Yes,
where is an department store in Cleveland? I want to know.
There used to be a May Company in downtown Cleveland, which is where Drew Carey based that.
Okay.
That whole thing off of, but that closed.
So why doesn't Drew Carey set up shop? Drew Carey's got some motherfucking responsibilities, and he's got to follow through with them.
That's a really good point.
I agree completely with myself. Thank you. No, but you moved from Cleveland. So when you started doing stand-up comedy in Cleveland, how was it? Like, were you able to perform every weekend? Was it once a month? Was there comedy clubs that were supportive? In other words, was it a fertile ground for being a stand-up?
Well, the people in Cleveland were really cool. Like, I would say that it was a really supportive place in terms of the other comics are really cool people. Like, people were really focused on giving other people stage time and stuff. But still, there just wasn't like a critical mass of audience. So you could go up, if you were lucky, like 2 times a week or that's how often I was going up.
You obviously moved from Cleveland. You're not currently commuting every day.
Right.
Why? Why Chicago? Why did you move from Cleveland?
For the stand-up scene.
Okay.
Because I needed a place where I could go up, like, 4 times a week,
yeah.
You know? And also, I didn't feel like I was good enough for New York or L.A. yet, and I didn't want to compete against that kind of talent pool.
It's kind of funny, because when you and I hear you say that, and then I hear a lot of stand-up from New York, it's not that they're good, it's that they move there.
So, a lot of people aren't good enough for New York.
I'm just saying, I don't think a lot of people are good enough for anywhere, period, and that's not to be mean, come on. It seems like in Chicago, the talent pool is smaller, yes, but better.
Yeah. I think that our talent pool in Chicago is really great.
That's the right answer.
Okay.
No. But, I mean, when did you move to Chicago?
I moved to Chicago 2 years ago.
Okay. Are you glad you moved to Chicago?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. How often are you currently performing stand-up on a weekly or monthly basis?
Oh, see, I took a big break over the winter. Right.
Taking a big break as a stand-up, because you went from performing 2 times a week in a city that was hard to perform 2 times a week, and then moved to a city where it's relatively easy to perform 2 times a week, hence question sounding of the voice, and then you took some time off. I mean, in that time off, were you writing, were you workshopping stuff? When you perform stand-up in an open mic, is it different than if you're on the bill? How does this work?
Okay, it's way different if you're on the bill. Like, open mics are really for messing up and doing stuff that doesn't work at all and getting flustered and just being really weird and weirding people out. Like, that is the best use of an open mic.
Okay.
And then when you are on the bill, it's like you have a responsibility to actually entertain people and actually be amusing somehow.
Okay. Do you, as a stand-up, do you like going to stand-up shows?
Yeah, and I don't do it enough. I mean, for, like, when I'm not performing at all. But I really like it. I'm always surprised by how much I enjoy.
Where's good to go? And I'm going to guess it's not a major club.
Right.
But I could be wrong, and I don't want to say.
Well,
where do you like to go, and why?
Well, I have to say, like, I used to be a cast member of the Lincoln Lodge. So, the Lincoln Lodge.
Of course.
Like, obviously.
We should plug them. It's every Friday night? Is it every Friday and Saturday? I know it's every Friday.
It's every Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
At the Lincoln Restaurant on...
Lincoln and Damon.
Right, yeah. Like, right where Irving Park and...
If two ways you might know of it. Conan O'Brien and Andy Richter filmed a skit there when Andy was still on the first run of the show.
Yes.
In, like, 94. It's hard to find that on YouTube, but if you do go to the Lincoln Lounge, there's a lovely photo of the two of them there, and they both look really young.
Yes.
Secondly, there's a giant Lincoln head on both Damon, on both Irving and Lincoln, so it's very easy to go and see.
Yes.
You cannot miss this place, literally.
Right. So if you miss it, something is wrong with
you. You hate America because you hate Lincoln then.
Right. Yeah.
That was rude of me. Continue. I'm sorry.
So the Lincoln Lodge, and I think the Lincoln Lodge is cool because there's a good mix of people who are just breaking through, like a T.J. Miller kind of situation, and people who are really local, and really, really good local people.
Yeah. You said that you didn't think you were ready to go to New York or LA. This was before you moved here, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're here, are you considering moving to New York or LA?
I think I still have some time in Chicago left.
Is there a time limit on this thing?
On living in Chicago?
Yeah, as a stand-up, is there a time limit? I mean, a lot of musicians I talk to, they feel like there's a time limit here, and this is where they either end their career or start their career, and very few people want to stay, and to me, that's heartbreaking.
That is a really good question.
I know, I'm trying here.
I feel like I know some people who are really making it work and living in Chicago.
Like who?
Like Prescott Tolk lives in Chicago, and he does pretty incredible things. But then again, another person that I would have pointed to was Hannibal Buress, who's going to be on the...
Yeah, who... I think it's New York. Is it New York or is it LA?
Yeah, it's New York.
Yeah.
And he did really big stuff while he was living in Chicago.
I know! He was on Ferguson when he was still in Chicago.
Yeah. So I think Hannibal did it right. Like, I think Hannibal waited until he... Like, I think it makes sense to wait till you are actually kind of a big deal. And then you can maybe go to New York and bypass some of the, like, open mic competition. But I don't know.
But, okay, as a stand-up, you want to be a stand-up. You don't want to be an actor that happens to do stand-up.
Yeah.
Okay. So, therefore, in terms of, like, the big names, and I'm using air quotes so only you can see, it's mostly touring. It's like 200 dates, if not more, on the road.
Yeah.
So why does it matter where you live?
I don't know. Wait, that's a great... I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
It's like, I mean, unless you're doing like a Pat Nozzle... Sorry, she kicked my hockey stick, and that's literally a hockey stick in the corner. Unless you're doing like a Pat Nozzle thing where you're only touring like, I don't know, 2 months of the year, and you're playing in like 1,200-seat venues, it seems that the majority of people are on the road nonstop. Yeah. So why does it matter where you set up shop? I mean, are those 2 months at home for you to workshop, and that's why you're in New York or L.A.?
Okay, right. Maybe that's it. that makes sense.
Okay.
And also, maybe, like, maybe it makes sense to be in a town where, like, if you get a... if they have an open slot on Letterman or something, you're town. So... Is that why?
I don't know. I really don't know. Is it a support system? I mean, like, you're a stand-up. How often do you hang out with other stand-ups?
I see other stand-ups at least three times a week.
But is this because you're performing and you happen to be at the same club, or like we're like movie night, or like what is it?
There's not really movie nights.
You know, that was a bad question. I don't even have movie nights. We should all have a movie night.
Yeah.
But secondly, but I mean, like when you say you see them, how do you see them?
That's I see them at open mics.
Yeah.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe other stand-ups are hanging out with each other, but I feel like we see each other so often that it doesn't, and we see each other at bars, which is where you go to hang out with your friends anyway.
That is true. We won't talk about drinking. Okay, let's talk about drinking. Not if you drink too much or too little. That's rude. Why am I pointing? it's more, does it help? When you're performing at an open mic and you're workshopping stuff, does it help if you're drinking? Is it harder to tell if it's actually funny?
It is harder to tell. And also, if you're drinking, maybe that means everyone is drinking.
Yes.
And then the other comics are... reacting to you as a fellow comic. They're not, you know, they're like, this is hilarious that you're drunk and saying this, instead of that's actually something amusing. So
do you tape your shows?
I don't, but I should. I definitely should.
Why though? Why should you tape your shows?
Because, you know, you don't remember correctly what the reactions were to your jokes.
Okay.
And also, a lot of times you can have, like, funny asides at an open mic that you didn't write down at all, and you say it, and then 2 hours later it's vaporized, and you don't know what that was. And,
okay.
Yeah.
See, that makes complete sense. You rode your bike here, or you have a bag that is a bike bag.
Yeah, I rode my bike.
Okay,
and I
didn't want to assume, but we were talking earlier, and you said you want to do a bike tour.
Right.
What a bike tour entail?
This is my vision.
I think this could happen.
Okay.
I think you could get funding too from local bike shops around the country.
That would be
I know, and they could do your tune-ups.
Oh my gosh!
I know, I'm setting you up, literally.
Wow! Okay, right, so this past winter, I was like, I really don't think I could do another Chicago winter. It really destroys me.
It does.
So, I have this vision of just biking between cities, and then I'll, like, be high on endorphins all the time. And then I could just go south for the winter, come north for the summer and like never have to encounter another winter again.
So you're technically going to be homeless.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would need to happen for you to do this?
Oh, this is such a good session we're having.
I'm becoming your therapist.
My roommate Megan would call this visioning. This is called visioning.
Sure.
Vision session.
We're even more hippie-ish than we've ever been before.
Let's see. What would I have to do to get this together? I have the bike.
Okay.
I have a touring bike.
You don't have a fixed speed, do you?
I don't.
Okay, that's probably for the best, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't need that much stuff. I would need, we talked about, like, three outfits.
Yeah.
Some plastic bags.
You would need to set up shelter. So, yeah. I know that in Europe, there's like, it's like couchhopper.com or something like that. Is there a site or people here that you can hook up with, I don't know, every 100 miles, let's say?
There is definitely that site.
Okay. How often a day would you, because you're going to perform every night, so obviously you don't want to bike too much. There needs to be a set amount. How many hours do you think you can bike without being exhausted and then be able to perform?
I think for my fitness right now, I shouldn't attempt more than 40 miles a day.
40 miles a day. Okay, 40 miles a day isn't that far.
No, I mean...
So, you're going to need to play a lot of colleges, I'm assuming?
Right.
And a lot of open mics in Decatur, Illinois, and places like that. No offense to Decatur, Illinois. I'm sure you're fabulous people. Okay, when would you want to leave Chicago? When would you leave Chicago? When would you want to return to Chicago?
I think October makes sense to leave, right?
Okay. I'm asking. I don't know. Early or late, because they're totally different.
Huh. I guess early October I should leave.
Early October. When do you want to return?
Oh, not till May.
So this is like a 7-8 month tour.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you can do this. I think you could get known for doing this, too.
Yeah, right? Because like a lot of people... It could be like the environmentally friendly tour.
I think that's what you should do, and then you can get every week. You'll always headline. Let's say you'll always headline.
Yeah.
And how many people you want on the bill?
Oh, you know I'm generous. So
I think minimum five here.
Five? Okay.
I think minimum five. Therefore, because two openers, you need somebody to do promo in the city that you're playing.
Okay.
So you get the two openers, the local guys, and then every week. Here's how it's even more special. Special guests that bike with you, and then they could document their travels in a blog or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
This way, it's not just your perspective. And this way, you're not so bent out in it, and you have some fellow friend biker things. Because I can't bike 40 miles a day. But I would love to see a stand up like me that actually does stand up. I'm not a stand up. Go with you.
Wow.
So some out of shape dude, like biking with you for a week, biking himself 200 miles would be wonderful.
I need this written down, actually.
You'll have this in audio format. I think you should do this.
I think I should, too, because I should do this.
Let's
this is what I'm meant to
and
do.
And I say let's, I mean just you. I'm I like it here in Chicago, even though it's cold as hell.
What else do I need? I mean, I'm worried about winding up like with a broken leg by the side of the road.
Okay, here's the thing. That's why you need two people with you at all times.
Uh-huh.
It's essentially your Lance Armstrong giving you steroid shot.
Right.
Consistent shots of steroids. Besides the basics, like shelter, number one. Are there any comedians that are nurses? Because I'm assuming a nurse would be better than this than a doctor.
You
need a comedian nurse.
Yeah, I do. Well, can I just put the call out to the universe
now? Of course. How should people contact you?
They should email me if they're a nurse comedian. Carrie from Cleveland@gmail.com.
That's good. I think this is very doable, by the way.
I think also, if you are a comedian and you're a bike mechanic, you should email me.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I think, there you go. Automatically, every single anarchist book fair, zine-making thing, there's your stage.
Oh.
Have you ever been to one of those things?
Anarchist book fairs?
Or something like that. I used to do these zines, and every time I'd go to these fests, like, it was so much fun, but it was ultimately pointless because it was like the same 50 awesome, cool people hanging out, and like we're talking to each other.
Uh-huh.
You bring in the stand up, there's more people there, and you have like multiple places to stay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And those people are really attractive.
There you go. I don't want to rip off your bits, but you said you like the hipsters.
I'm really into those people. And so I'd have to stay at their houses
you
overnight.
You would have to.
Oh my god. And I bet I'd be really hot because I'd be on my bike all day long.
You would smell like a revolutionary.
Yeah. All those sweat glands would really...
Which to me is the worst smell in the world, no offense.
Oh.
I'm very sorry. No, I love soap now.
Really?
I do. Look at my size. Do I look in shape? Absolutely not.
You're acting like you're some golem.
I'm 480 pounds in this room. I'm literally swallowing the room. No, no, no. I think this bike tour is very possible.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, if you're... Okay, you took a lot of months off.
Yes.
Were you writing? I never followed up, and I apologize. Were you writing new material?
No, actually. I tried to... So... I volunteered. I did the Barack Obama spend time in another state thing.
Really? What state did you go to?
Ohio, which is where I'm from. So I just lived at my parents' house for a month and ate their food.
That's nice.
Also, I was jobless, so I needed to eat my parents' food for a month.
By the way, you just outed yourself as a crazy liberal. Who would have thought that somebody that wanted to do a bike tour would be a crazy liberal?
Yeah. Well, I want to do a bike tour with, like, my, you know...
With your hipster.
Homeschooled children. I just needed some time to act like I was gonna save the world or something.
Did you feel good doing it?
Yeah. Yes.
Looking back on it, are you glad you did it?
Yes.
That's good.
And I'll be able to tell that story to my children.
You'll have cred forever.
Right.
I know.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Unless a revolution happens and then, like...
Whatever.
Right.
You'll be on a bike. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So, why didn't you write? Why weren't you working on new stuff?
Huh. Wow, that is a deep question. I was working for a paycheck a lot, so that took a lot of my time.
But you're working for a paycheck now.
Right. Yeah, that's true, too. Wait, so that's not it. That's an excuse.
I don't think that is it.
I didn't feel very funny, I guess. That's really what it came down to.
Do you feel funnier that you're... when? I mean, a lot of comedians have a lot of material about their home life, and you were literally back at home, but you weren't writing. Is this ironic, or you just not feel creative when you're back in Cleveland?
No. That's not it. Mm-mm,
okay.
No. No, I can write stuff in Cleveland.
Okay.
Cleveland's pretty fertile ground,
okay.
I think. I think it had to do with it being winter, I think.
But you would think that because it was winter, you had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or are you the kind of comedian where you want to be out, where essentially the busier, the more productive you are as well?
Here's what happens. When it's winter and it's dark out, I get seasonal affective disorder. And, I'm not diagnosed. I've self-diagnosed. So
you WebMD'd it.
Right. And, so the stuff that I tend to write, because I still was writing in a notebook, but I wasn't writing jokes, tends to be, like, really morose, like, really, and, like, my funny stuff doesn't come out of that writing.
Really?
No, I'm sure that writing is helpful for me, but,
okay.
Like, my funny stuff comes when I'm, like, on my bike, and it's, like, you know, what's that stupid cat doing? I've never told a joke like that, but, like, just really flippant, silly things.
Okay, so you're one of the very few people that is comedy is not pain, in other words.
You know, I've tried to make it about my pain.
No. You're actually making jokes about good, happy things.
Well, yeah, I do this... One thing that I think is a really bad habit of mine is I will, like, journal at open mics pretty much, right? Like, I'll go to Shuba's and be like, oh, here's exactly what happened with me this week. But really, that's not actually that helpful. Like,
Why is it not that helpful? That sounds very helpful.
Well, it's helpful for me. It's not helpful for the audience with laughter. Like, it's great therapy. Like, I really recommend it, but, it's, you get, like, too wrapped up in yourself, you know? You get too wrapped up in, like, you know, your inner processes as a product for the audience to consume, and, like, that's not, I don't know.
Have you ever, gone to, something like at Shuba's, and you're on the bill, and you're journaling for the day,
right.
And then you said, fuck it, I'm going to read this as my piece?
I've never done exactly that, but I've certainly, even last night, like, I have a tendency to get up there and I'll tell two jokes I've written, and then I'll be like, and this is the stupid thing my mother said to me, and there's no joke there. I'm just telling this...
Yeah.
This is... Yeah, so...
Where do you think people are laughing at more? And I mean at, because it's a good thing, not like pointing and laughing. There's no way to ask this correctly.
Yeah, what do people like more?
What do you think? Or does it vary show to show?
I think sometimes people laugh because they are uncomfortable that I just did that. I think that they kind of like pull back a little bit and they're okay. Like, whoa, I just knocked a picture off the wall.
That's okay. It's completely fine. You can see I'm a very fine artist.
Oh, that's really actually pretty.
No, it's not. Shut up. That's just mean. Don't make fun of me. It's not. By the way, I think you should name your first... You don't have an album yet, right?
No, I don't.
Okay, good. It should be called Helpful with Laughter.
Oh!
I know.
Sweet. I like that.
You don't have to. You just said that and I wrote it down because I thought it was
sounds like
funny.
A translation from another language.
Yes, it does, actually. We babblefish the shit out of this. I asked Carrie to... Okay, here's the basis of this. For those of you that listen may know, and for those of you that were at the shows obviously know, Carrie's performing as part of this podcast series, The Hungry Brain, a wonderful bar, obviously. And this is the first stand-up show we have. And this is actually the first stand-up show I've ever booked. Before, it was sketch and bands and readers and stuff. So what I want to know is, why did you say yes to this? Because we didn't know each other. This is our first meeting, literally.
Mm-hmm.
I just hit the microphone with my headphones. Okay, so why did you say yes to this show?
The stand-up show that
you booked. Stand-up show that's happening a week from today.
Well, I mean, because the other people on the bill are really great.
Okay.
I mean, Hannibal's really great.
I know.
Adam's really great. Who's the other person?
Prescott's either on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Is he on this one? He's coming up. I know he's coming up.
I think for this Prescott. Like, yeah. So those are all really great people.
Okay.
So, yes, that's why I did.
So it was because, like, it's not, like, if you didn't know that, would you have said yes?
There's a chance I would have said yes. Yeah, maybe.
How many venues, don't name the names unless you want to, but how many venues in Chicago do you feel like you could perform your stuff and you should be performing your stuff there? Because, I mean, in theory, you could perform it at any Starbucks, but that's not appropriate.
I think, I feel like a lot of venues I should be performing.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me a rough number here. Or name them. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I will perform at a Starbucks. I will.
Even if there's not stand-up, you just go in.
Right.
Good night, everybody.
Just start bothering the people in line. Yeah. Yeah.
That would actually be a decent skit. maybe not. That was a bad idea, and I apologize. No, but where's good? Where should people go?
Just to see
stand-up in Chicago.
Definitely Lincoln Lodge, Chicago Underground. As far as open mics, probably Shuba's. But, yeah, so Shuba's. Where else? I'm sure that I'm forgetting good places.
It seems like... Well, have you done the Fizz thing yet or no?
Yeah, Fizz is good.
Fizz is okay?
Yeah.
What about Bee Kitchen? Is that okay?
Yeah, Bee Kitchen is Chicago Underground.
By the way, this is kind of ironic. We've named four places. They're all on Belmont.
Yeah.
The Hungry Brain is on Belmont.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, that's very odd. Anywhere on the south side? I'm not trying to, like, stump you here. I just can't think of one.
I don't know that...
Or the west side. Or the Loop, for that matter.
God, there's actually a bunch of really good places. But you're kind of putting me on the spot.
And I apologize, you don't get an answer.
Yeah.
This way, people need to look it up themselves.
Yeah.
They are probably near or on a computer. I mean, if you're listening to this, you know how to operate one. Look it up your fucking self. Right. That was mean, and I apologize. I'm trying to be nicer here. Carrie, thank you.
I do know that, like, something I would recommend is there's this guy, Mikey O, who does a bunch of comedy shows, especially on the west side. And
nice.
I've had good experiences with him. So.
Thank you. That was very nice of you to do that. Thank you. Carrie, thank you for coming on, and we're going to end this episode with a question from the Kids Book of Questions by Gregory Stock, PhD. So please pick a number between 1 and 260.
82.
I don't think we've had a repeat yet, so this is going very well. 82. This is a really good one. Have you ever seen your parents drunk or very ill? How did it feel to see them that way?
You know, it felt good. I feel like, you know, it's nice to see your parents, like, having a good time, loosened up. But, you know, I feel like that's, I felt closer to them.
That's a very wonderful statement. It's nice to see your parents loosened up. I'm serious. Yeah. We're going to end this show, if it's okay with Carrie, with one of your stand-up, not routines, but performances. Is that okay?
Yeah, that sounds
like,
great.
She's not actually going to perform. I'm going to pull this from the internet. And if you want to see her, please come to The Hungry Brain on, what is it? Monday, May 18th, it's doors at 8, performances at 9. She'll be there. Hannah will be there. All the information is at youmeethemeverybody.com. Once again, thank you. Where should people go to find your stuff?
They should go. I have a website.
You do. It's a very well designed website, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Did you do that?
No.
Oh, okay.
My friend Elizabeth hooked me up with it. Also, if anyone wants a website, you should also email me, and then I'll email you the stuff.
It's very well done.
Elizabeth,
the contact is on that website.
Yeah.
Okay. Very well. CarrieCallahan.com, everything spelled correctly.
CarrieCallahan.net.
.net. Is it really .net?
Yep.
Is it somebody take.com?
Yeah, they took it from me. I think someone who's trying to extort some money from me.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's weird that CarrieCallahan.com was bought by someone who wasn't me.
Did you ever do a search on one of the free, like, did you ever do a web search from a website that, like, hosts name domains?
Mm-hmm.
Did you search your own name?
Yeah.
And it was available?
Not .com.
Okay, I think I'm convinced that a site I was trying to get was bought simply because, or like was bought for like a nickel, because I checked it on as a .com for like a week, and then I tried to buy it a week later, and it was bought.
Oh, I bet you're totally right.
I think that's what happened to me. So, CarrieCallahan.net.
Right.
And just Google it, because, yeah, it's easier.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you.
And here is her stand-up. That was a really weird way for me to say, here is your stand-up. That's how I'm going to introduce you Monday, probably.
Yay.
Here is your stand-up. Thanks for listening.
I'm doing awesome. I moved to Chicago from Cleveland in September.
Yeah.
This is a big thrill for me. Clap it up for the move. Yes. Huge differences. My best estimate is that Cleveland has anywhere from 9 to 13 hipsters. At any given time, right? Whereas here, no matter what neighborhood you're in, it's a concert just let out. So exciting. It's exciting for me because I love hipster boys. Who loves hipster boys here? I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Yes. If you're dirty and you're wearing tight pants, I want to be all up in your shit. The way it works for me. And actually, twice, I checked out what I thought were very hip guys. They turned out to be panhandlers. Yes. One guy I couldn't tell. So I went up to him and I was like, sir, this is such a weird question. Do you live in a warehouse with 20 of your friends? And he was like, yes, I do. And I realized I still did not know. So I said, when people refer to your living situation, do they call it a crack den or an art space? And so he was a hipster. He was also a girl. Yeah. Which is cool with me because I love androgynous people. Who loves androgyny here? I think it's really, really sexy, and I figured out why. It's because in second grade I watched The Labyrinth. Yes. That's a very sexy movie for kids. I was watching YouTube clips, and I was getting really turned on. And it's so weird to get turned on and also think, like, that's really impressive puppetry. So I saw that movie when I was in second grade. In the fourth grade, I had a sex dream about David Bowie, my first sex dream. And it wasn't a sex dream, it was an after-sex dream. In the dream, my dream self is a fourth grader still. In my parents' house, I wake up, David Bowie is laying next to me. He says, hello, love. What do you want to do about breakfast? I freak out. I'm like, how am I going to sneak David Bowie past my parents? And I'm also like, I've lost a lot of respect for David Bowie having sex with fourth graders.